you know, even though our churches meet in different places on Sundays, there's an appropriate time for the people of God to come together in a city and pray. I think anytime we see something in the news or we hear bad news, we want to do something, and this is the perfect opportunity for that.
We're told that we are to pray continually, and we're told that when we pray, we should go off in our closet on our own and pray. And there's also commandments where we're to pray together and to pray for one another so that we may be healed. And I think my favorite story about prayer that Jesus tells is in Luke 18, when he talks about this widow who has no power, who has no money, and goes to this judge who doesn't care about God or people, and yet because she keeps coming, he finally grants her what she wants. And the point of that story is not that God is like the judge, it's that we should continue to come and continue to ask. And that's what we're called to do as followers of Christ. We follow the same God, we love the same Father, he loves us, and we come together to call on his name to change our community.
You know, last year was amazing to me. And probably one of my favorite moments of the whole event was, you know, first of all of us coming together and the people that came together from all the different churches, and they represented the church. That was what was so awesome to me. And the people praying for our community with one voice. My favorite part, though, was when we worshiped. That was pretty amazing when everybody sang the same song, had the same voice. It did something in the spiritual atmosphere, I believe, over our community. And I'm anticipating something greater this year when we come together for this.
Light Up the Night 2015. Last year we came together, we prayed because we live in a dark and broken world. And that world is still here. And until Jesus comes back, we need to come together and pray. We need to. The Bible says we're the light of the world. The Bible says that there's darkness, but the light is stronger than the darkness. And so when we come together and pray for Light Up the Night 2015, here's what's going to happen. We're going to walk and we're going to pray. We're going to sing and we're going to pray. We're going to hear the word of God and we're going to pray. We're going to ask for God to do what only he can do in this community that is hurting. We're going to ask him to heal it. We're going to ask him to change people's hearts, change people's minds, change people's lives. That's what Light Up the Night is all about.
I promise that this shirt has been washed since we shot that video. Today, we are going to just take some time to focus on prayer and focus on coming to the Father, because 514 Church is in the process of building our future home. And there's going to be an entire series that starts in October where everyone in the entire church is brought on board with the details and the vision and the location and the cost. And when you hear it, you're going to go, "Ooh, that's big. Wow, that's big." And it's going to be exciting and it's going to be challenging, and I absolutely can't wait to share it with everybody here. But it's just something that we're prepping for, and the best way to prep for something this big is through prayer. And it's not so much that if we pray that God will answer our big prayers, it's that when we pray, God does something in us in terms of our faith and relationship to him. We just get changed through it. It's not that he changes, but we change around him and we see him in new ways when we continue to go and talk to him and ask him for things that are really big. When 514 Church started, at first it was called New Albany Church. And God put this vision in my heart in 2007. And the church started in March of 2010. And in 2009, when the church was kind of just getting started, and I had, I don't know, maybe 20 of my close friends that were on board with what was going to happen. Nobody had given any money. Nobody had made any type of commitment to the church. It was just, hey, we're going to start this thing, and we hope that you guys show up to it. And I started to rally this team around me and worship leader and children's director and David, funny director. And we just started to talk and to pray. And I remember one time at night, I had a buddy of mine over, and I had a piece of paper out. And just tell the story. I had a piece of paper out, and I was writing down the names of the people that I thought might come. And I was trying to figure all of it out. I was writing down the names. And I said, well, this family might come. And then I started to guess how much money they make each year. I bet they make this. And then I bet this family makes it. And I thought, now, if they give some money, then they give some money. And I thought, well, if all these people give this amount, then we'll be able to make it. I won't have to go get another job. I'll be able to do this as my job. And I wrote down, and after I wrote down all that on a piece of paper, there was about 20 names there, and that amount that I thought, if they give, maybe then I won't have to go get a separate job, a second job. I can put all my time and energy into New Albany Church. And I remember a month before the church started, I had a conversation with someone. They asked me, what are you expecting? What do you think is going to happen? And I had spent so much time in prayer and so much time just trying to wrap my brain around the realities of how difficult it is to start a church, that my big dreams to reach tens of thousands of people, God brought me to this place really on my knees in my closet where I said this prayer to God. I said, God, if you bring 200 people within the first 2 years, I'll be faithful. I said, God, I will do everything I can. I'll get a second job. I will love those people. I will teach those people. I will lead those people. We will lead their kids. God, if you bring 200 people, I'll be faithful. And my heart was ready for that. I was ready to do whatever God had to do. And my prayer had gotten to that point. And I was a little nervous. And I was a little kind of like, oh, if that would happen, if 200 people, that would be amazing. Wow, that's big. 75% of the churches in the United States are 75 people or less. So I thought, man, if we were 200 people, we would really be reaching a lot of people. March 21st, 2010, I was standing right outside these doors, and the parking lot was filling up. And there were 400 people that came the first day. 400 people. Double what I prayed for in desperation. I mean, what? And that was really for me, even as a spiritual leader, even studying prayer, studying the Word of God, understanding what faith is, that was really for me where the practice of prayer and the understanding of who I am and who God is really kind of got its first adjustment about what reality is when you're really talking about a big, big God. And I know there was a lot of other things that kind of made that work, but it was really God doing something that was bigger than I could imagine, bigger than I could ask for, bigger than I could even think. And so that's what this journey is about for us. I don't want to lead you guys down a road of praying for something that you can figure out. But I want to invite every single one of us to pray and ask God to do something that is bigger than we can think of. And so it's really fun. Throughout this journey over the past 5 years, God has given me this amazing opportunity to run into some of the most well-known and successful pastors that lead churches kind of like our church. There's a pastor down in Dallas who, through a member of our church here, they met Ed Young Jr., and he's a pastor of it's got to be a 15,000-member church in Dallas, Texas. And Ed Young Jr. Ran into a friend of ours that goes to our church here, and this person started telling Ed Young about 514 Church. It was so cool because, you know, I'd heard of Ed Young Jr. He's on TV, and I've seen him at conferences talk, and his dad was a very successful pastor back in the 60s and 70s down in Dallas. And so I thought, man, this guy's really, really cool. And then about 10 days later, my phone rang, and I picked up my phone, and it was like, hey, Joel, this is Ed Young Jr. from Fellowship Church. And I was like, this is a joke. You got to understand, like as the church grows, you know, I mean, the pastors have just a lot of different people that are coming at them, and I wasn't even in the inner, like even the outer circle of his thing down there. And then I got a phone call from him, and he said, hey, I heard what's going on at 514 Church, and I'm excited, and I want to encourage you. And he said this to me, and you just got to hear, because you got to understand the spirit. He said this to me. We talked for 25 minutes that day. I said, how do you keep reaching people that don't go to church? He goes, man, you have to just do everything you can to just think about the people that aren't in the building. Just every meeting, every time you come together, just constantly, he goes, you're going to have people. This is Ed Young. This is after he's been doing this for 25 years. He goes, you just got to constantly think and have a heart for the people that don't have a heart for God. He said that to me. He said, you need to have a heart for people that don't have a heart for God. He said, and everything else will fall into place. You just keep marching forward. There's going to be people that like that idea. There's going to be people that don't like that idea. He goes, Joel, and on the phone, he prayed for me. He said, I pray you give Joel a heart for the people who don't have a heart for God. And so what I did is I called Ed a couple weeks ago. We developed a relationship with him. We actually went down and visited his church for 2 days, got to see what they do, see how they function. He was a gracious host. And Ed Young had just took a minute to give us some words of encouragement in terms of praying big, big faith. So this is a message from Ed.
Hi, I'm Ed Young, pastor of Fellowship Church. And I'm so, so excited to hear what God is doing at 514 Church. Joel, you're the man God is placed you and placed his hand upon your life. He's given you an amazing plan and agenda for some incredible things. And I just want to challenge you guys to step out on big faith, because it takes big faith for God to do the kind of stuff that he wants to do. And I think back in the history of Fellowship Church, we've had those defining moment times where we've had to crash through quitting points, to crash through barriers. And this is your time, because God want you to step up and step out and go to a whole nother level. We believe in you, Joel. We believe in 514 Church, and we're looking forward to great things, because we have and serve a big God.
Isn't it so cool? We're about to go down a path, and we're not going down a path that other pastors haven't gone down, you know, that other leaders haven't gone down. Like, we get to kind of watch these men of faith who have trusted God and seen God do things. And a big part, and maybe it's going off in your mind, Joel's talking financially. It's so much bigger than finances. This is trusting God in every area of your life, and then he uses this process. This has been an amazing journey for me. I ran into Ed Young Jr. I got to spend like a day with him. I went to lunch and went to his family's house. 3 weeks ago, I was doing a wedding just down on Broad Street at Taylor Mansion. Just a great family. Jim and Jenny, are you guys in here right now? No, Jim and Jenny, their son Chaz, got married. And Jenny, Chaz is, you know, he's 24 years old. And his mom's brother is a guy named Dave Wilson from Kensington Church. Now, Kensington Church is 20,000 people up in Detroit, Michigan. And he and I sat at this wedding, and we just talked about church. And he told me this story, and it's actually on their website. He said, Joel, he sat there. You got to hear this. He sat there at the table. He said, man, it just sounds like what you guys are doing, like it's exactly what we went through. And I'm kind of like, okay. And he's like, this is exciting. You got to keep going. You got to keep pushing. And he goes, on the first day, he sat and told me this. He goes, on the first day of our church, I had no idea. We met in a school. We didn't know what was going to happen. This was 25 years ago. He said, and I didn't think anyone was going to come. And he said, 480 people came the first day. And I was like, okay, now I'm listening. And he started to tell me how they went through this process, and how they started to pray, and they started to think, and they started to do things. And so I developed a relationship with Dave, and now Dave is kind of an angel on our shoulder. He's another guy that I've met that's helping me as we're talking through this process. And I've shown him our plans, and I've shown him where we're headed, and he's like, this is it. You're doing it exactly how we did it. He's shown us a bunch of different stuff that they did, and it's just been one of the most encouraging things in the world. This church has like 7 locations. They're all over the Detroit area. They even have a location down in Florida. And they are just reaching people. So here's a message from Dave Wilson at Kensington Church.
Hey, 514 Church, this is Dave Wilson. I'm the chaplain of these guys, the Detroit Lions. And I'm a pastor of Kensington Church up in Michigan. And I know there probably aren't any Michigan Wolverine fans down there, but don't tell anybody, either am I. I grew up in Ohio, Findlay, Ohio. I'm a Buckeye at heart. I can't say that up here, but I can say that to you guys. But let's talk big faith. I know you guys are talking about big faith and trusting a big God to do absolutely astounding things in your midst, and he's going to do that. I always say that big faith is really little faith, mustard seed faith, in a big, huge, awesome God. And so I'm going to pray that you see a big God do big things, and it will grow your faith to be a big faith. It's going to be awesome. You're going to look back on these days and tell your kids and grandkids how God showed up in big ways. And so I'm going to pray that you see God do amazing things as a result of your big faith. Jesus, I pray right now for 514 Church, for dads, for moms, for kids, for singles, men and women. God, I pray that you would reveal yourself, that they would see you as you really are, a big, awesome God. And as a result of that, their faith would grow to big faith, and they would see big things happen in their midst, things so astounding they would be talking about it for generations to come. Amen. Can't wait to see what God does.
Dave Wilson invited me to come to a chapel for the Detroit Lions this next season. So I get to go up there and hang out with people that are massive and hope that they don't hit me. I'll probably tell them I played football in high school and they'll laugh. But it's just been really fun as our team. I'm just telling you, today is about expecting bigger things than you can imagine, and it's about showing you what God is doing. I had the opportunity with our team, some of our core leadership team, we went on a trip to see some other facilities. And when we went down to Atlanta, Georgia, we went to North Point Community Church, which a lot of you have heard of Andy Stanley. And we got to go to one of their newest campuses. They have 7 campuses. They're actually physical buildings. Each building is over $15 million and over 100,000 square feet, all 7 of them. And they have one main communicator who's Andy, and they pump him in live through a 30-foot screen in all those buildings. And in those buildings, it's jam-packed. Okay, over 30,000 people go to these churches. They just built in January, they just finished Gwinnett Church, which is their newest location. And Jeff Henderson is the campus pastor there. Now, Jeff Henderson is one of the sharpest people on the planet. He was the director of marketing for Chick-fil-A for years. And then he came on board with North Point. And so we went to their church, I think it was week 3, maybe week 2 that they had opened. And we're talking about a building that's 130,000 square feet. If you have any idea how big that is, that's 3 times the size of this entire building that we're in right now, maybe more. And there were, in their main service at 11 o'clock, they had, they have 1,300 seats in their main venue, and the hallways are 25 feet wide, and the entire hallway was packed with chairs their second week open. They were all packed on the inside, and then the outside in the hallways, there were 3 rows of chairs, and they were watching on the monitors because so many people were coming to this church. Now, Jeff Henderson and Andy Stanley, their entire vision is to build a church that unchurched people love to attend. Build a church that unchurched people love to attend. And we don't want to label you as unchurched if you're unchurched, but that's just kind of how we identify you, because we have a heart for people that don't have a heart for God. We want you to learn our heart for God so that you can experience the best scenario that life has to offer, and that's a scenario with Jesus Christ. So there's some churches out there that have designed everything they do around trying to connect with people that don't have a heart for God. That's really my heart. And so we get to go down there, and we got to go on a tour and spend all this time with Jeff Henderson. What a sharp guy. His staff, they took us all the way through. They showed us their entire building. They showed us everything that they have done. And we've been staying connected with Jeff. And so I asked Jeff to just kind of give us a little glimpse and share some big faith. And he's just a super sharp guy. You need to check him out. Follow him on Twitter. He's a great guy. But Jeff Henderson took a minute to just encourage you guys as well.
Hey, 514, my name's Jeff Henderson, and I'm a pastor in North Atlanta here at Gwinnett Church in Atlanta, Georgia, and we are huge fans of what you're doing and Joel and the team there, and I know you're embarking on a huge step, and that's going to require big faith, and our team definitely understands where you are. We purchased the land that I'm on not too long ago, and we had, like you, big faith and big prayers and big dreams, and we moved into this facility just a few weeks ago that we'll show you now. And this is as a result of a really big God, and we feel like God wants us to pray big, big prayers. And
And so I show this to you as a way to inspire you and to say that you are doing great, great things. And God wants to do great things through you and Joel and the team there. So pray big, expect big, have big faith, and we'll be cheering you on here from Atlanta, Georgia.
You see, there's what we can do, and then there's what we can't do, right? I mean, it's like, what is that? Like, huge, big, bigger than us. And if you want to be a part of something that's really amazing, you just stay on board here, because we are going to pray that God does something big. That church, the seventh of all their big campuses, is 130,000 square feet, $26 million. I mean, what? What? And they're reaching thousands and thousands of people through ministries that are simple, that are designed to connect with people who don't care about God. I mean, here's the thing, you guys. Like, I just want to remind you how important it is that your prayer life is bigger than your real life. That your prayer life reflects how big God is and not how good or how big you are. You see, what I found is that kind of on the journey of life, there are hills and there are valleys. And one of the things that I've noticed about myself, and maybe you don't experience this, but this is something I've noticed about myself. I find that my prayers, when things are rough, when I'm in the valley, get really intense, right? When I'm down here. It's that I get to this place, and it's almost like if you think for a second, like you're in quicksand, right? It's like everything was going okay, and then suddenly you just started to sink. And now your prayers are going, God, it's your most intense prayer. God, help me. Please save me. Fix this problem. Change this scenario. Whatever it is, you have a passion for prayer in the valley that you don't really experience at the top. And when you're praying in the valley, it's the most intense prayer that you could give. But the thing about those prayers that I just want to like remind you, and that I just want to tell you that happened to me. When I'm in the valley and I'm praying, it's about survival. It's not really about big. It's not really about God, what God can do. It's just about, God, will you get me back just to square, just to zero sea level, just so I can keep going. Then what happens is I have these intense prayers. I get on my knees. You ever find yourself when you're in a desperate situation, circumstances, you go on your knees, you start praying, you're crying, you're doing different things, and then God answers those prayers sometimes, and then things start to get better, or you start to accept them, and the desperation goes away, and then things start to kind of level out, and you start to travel up to the top of the peak, and then you find yourself, you're not saying the same things. You're not praying these big things. You don't have the same desperation. What I found is that prayers in the valley are usually desperate prayers. They're usually intense prayers. And prayers on the peak are usually thankful prayers. Now, here's my challenge for you today. Could you bring the same intensity that you experience in the valley, the same desperation of prayer when things are going well? How about this? Could you bring the same desperation of prayer, the same intensity about other people and the mission and vision of God as opposed to your personal well-being and survival? You see, for us to experience what only God can do, we have to bring the desperation of the valley into our peak prayers. When everything is going right, we can't act and just go, God, thank you. Thank you for America. Thank you for my kids. Thank you for my job. Thank you for my family. Everything is fine. When everything is fine, we've got to go and think about other people, because you know what? When everything is fine for you, everything is not fine for all the people around you. And so you've got to constantly go, you know what? Even though I'm at the top, even though things are going well for me, I've got to remember the people in the valley. I got to bring their desperate prayers to the top. God, there are people who are hurting. What are we going to do, God? How are we going to get them out of the quicksand? How are we going to get them into a relationship with you? How are we going to get them to the peak? How are we going to get them to experience God in a new way? And start to get our prayers from the top of this experience really desperate again. And to actually never lose that, God, we need to seek the well-being of those around us. One of the scriptures that we're using for this series, for this time in our church, as we start this amazing journey, we really get into the ins and outs in October, is Ephesians 3:20. And it's kind of a book. It's six different chapters. But at the end of the third chapter, what the author does of this letter is he kind of closes it. And then he starts another part, kind of part two. But he kind of closes it with a prayer. And he starts closes it with a reminder of who God is and how big he is. And he reminds us of this, and this is where I want to take you guys this morning and just through the rest of this season. Now to him, Jesus, who is able to do immeasurably more than all we ask or imagine, according to his power that is at work within us. When I think about imagining, what I have found is that when you pray for something specific, that God doesn't just exceed that specific prayer that you asked and do more than you thought. He answers prayers that you didn't pray. He goes around. See, when the church first started, I was like, if just 200 people showed up, we could minister to them. And God was like, dude, that is the least of my concerns. I'm going to fix this and this and this. What God did, he brought great staff people around and great volunteers around and a great facility around. And he answered all these prayers that I never even asked. Well, what if you started to ask God in desperation for all those specifics? And he's like, ooh, now I get to trump you in every way bigger than you can imagine. You see, the discipline of prayer is that we go to God with every single detail and we say, you can make this better, and 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 only you can do it, and only you can do it, and only you can do it. And everything is fine, but it's not fine. I'm desperate. And so we have to be a church that says, we're going to pray. We're going to pray big. We're going to bring the intensity of the valley to the top. We have kind of a pastor from afar, don't we, with Mark Malin, Carmen's dad. He's been a guy that's just loved on our church. He's been coaching us, and he's come and shared with us. And so he is going to just give us one more final word of encouragement as he's been helping us through this process. He's going to pray, and then I'm going to lead us into a time of communion.
Hey to all my friends at 514 Church. I'm sitting here at my cottage in northern Michigan with my little buddy Scarlett. And we're getting ready for a couple weeks of some bucket filling. It was so good to be with you guys last week. I love 514. I love what your church has become in the short time that it's been in existence. And I'm also so excited about the future. I know you're beginning the process of someday having your own facility, which is going to be so awesome. And in that process, you guys already know this, but just want to remind you that it's going to take some big, huge, bold faith to get where you are now to where you want to be in the process of having your own place to call home. So I just want to encourage you to lean into it. Over the past 30 years in our church history, we have had a couple times where we've gone after a huge mountain that we believe that God was calling us to climb, required big faith. But as my favorite author, Mark Batterson, is known to say, bold prayers honor God, and God honors bold prayers. So lean into this with all you got, you guys, and I believe that great things are ahead for 514. Let me pray for you guys. God, I just ask that you would allow this great church to fulfill the future that you have for them. Give them the faith they need. Give them the ability to believe that with you, anything is possible, God. We claim your promises in Ephesians 3:20, where Paul said that you are able to do exceedingly abundantly above all that we can ask or even think. So God, we just pray that you would go before this great church. We pray for Joel and the leadership. Give them big faith, God. And we just pray that you would do what only you can do in the days ahead. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.
Now we're going to take a minute and connect with Christ. If you're visiting this morning, communion is a time where we, in a symbolic way, through bread and through juice, we remember that Jesus Christ, he shed his blood and his body was bruised and broken so that our sins could be washed away. And the night before Jesus was crucified, he was with his closest followers, his most dedicated, and he took some bread and he said, "This, remember me, is my bread, is my body. This is my body. I want you to, as you take this bread and you sit down and you think about me, I want you to think that as you break this bread, my body was broken for you." It's broken. And he took some wine and he said, this cup now, this represents my blood. I want you to, as you're looking at it and as you're drinking it, I want you to know and remember that my blood was shed for you. You see, you can't truly engage in a relationship with Jesus Christ unless you kind of go to this place where Jesus is hanging on the cross, his body is broken, his blood is shed, and you look at the God of the universe and you ask the question, why? Why, God, would you go through this? The scriptures say that Jesus did not consider equality with God a thing to be grasped, but he emptied himself, taking on the form of a servant. God emptied himself of all of his divine attributes. And then he walked as a full man on earth and he ended up on a cross. And he did that to say, I love you. This had to happen. I had to shed my blood. I had to be bruised. I had to be pierced. I had to be separated from my heavenly Father, so that you don't have to be separated from your heavenly Father. In that moment on the cross, Jesus took the penalty for us. He paid the price of our sin. And so, as we take communion together, try to get everything else out of your mind but the cross. This is a God who loves you. And if you don't know Jesus, this is a time for you to think for a minute that if God really did die on the cross for you, maybe he's worth having a relationship with. Because no greater love is there than this, that he laid down his life for his friends. You've never experienced the kind of love that Jesus portrayed on the cross. You will never, you have never. No one has died for you. No one has had so much on the line and laid it all down. No one. It's a love worth knowing. It's a love worth running towards. God loves you. Intensely, passionately. And so those of us that are Christians, we commune with him, we come to him, we say, yes, God, thank you. So what's going to happen is I'm going to say a prayer, and then when we're done with that prayer, you're going to stand up, and there's some stations all around. There's six stations, gluten-free in the back right corner, your back left. But what you're going to do is you're going to make your way to the nearest station, you're going to pull a piece of bread off of that loaf, dip it into the juice, and then move immediately away from the table, either to a corner or back to your seats. And once most of you have sit down, then we will sing another song. And you can take communion anytime. You can dip it in and take it right away, or like I do, you can bring it back to your chair and sit down and take a moment and just say, God, thank you so much for shedding your blood. We remember, we remember, we remember. Jesus asked us to remember that he died for us on the cross. So that's what communion's about. So I'm going to say a prayer. When I say amen, please immediately stand up and head to one of the nearest tables. Let's pray. Father, we remember right now that in no uncertain terms, you became a full man, walked on this earth, showed us a love that has never been seen, never will be seen again. And you ended up dying on a cross to take our place. And right now, we thank you for that. Father, it is by faith that we believe you did that. It is by faith that we believe that that death, your death, wipes away our sins. So we're with you now, God. We connect with you this morning. We love you. In Jesus' name, amen.